Listener Production.
The thing I think is, if you're someone listening and you see this happening, or you see this happen with your family lunch when you're discussing this with your mum or dad or grandpa or whoever, like, think about coming back to the fact of saying why.
Yeah.
You don't have to get into a fight with them. I'm not asking you to put yourself in like harm's way in these conversations. But when you see a woman sort of being gaslit, or like a headline that's not true, and you see someone in your life playing into that or believing it, just come back to like, can you explain to me why?
Why you don't like it.
And then if they say something, you know, like about it, promiscuity, or like if they use the language of like the slut or the whore or all these classic words, ask them why, and keep drilling down and get to the bottom of where it's coming from.
Yeah, that's my biggest tactic since I was in corporate, because I had all these dickhead, sexist, racist, transphobic, homophobic men. And if you ask them why, they stumble.
Yeah.
Or if they do a joke that's
why is that
that's
funny?
Problematic, you go, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Can you explain it to me?
Explain to me.
I don't get it.
And like, sorry, why am I not allowed to have sex? Why am I not allowed to date? Why am I not allowed to wear this? You tell me why that makes me the problem and not you.
I remember there was a video of me, and this is crazy that I'm even thinking about this, but there was a video of me at a Peking Duck concert last year, which is so random of me to even
remember.
That's random.
That's so random, isn't it? But I was shaking my ass to Fall at Your Feet, which also is so random. That's like my favorite Crowded House song. That's so crazy. Anyway, I was shaking my ass at my concert, and my friend was singing, and obviously I'm friends with Peking Duck, and I was just at my friend's gig shaking my ass, and it was like I'd killed a child on Instagram. It was 600 comments, and half of them were like, this is disgusting, this is so embarrassing that you... I'm like, so I'm not allowed to even shake my ass. It's my favourite song from Crowded House because it's so disgusting that I would do it. Also, I love that your mother must be so proud. I'm going... Yes, she is chook. Bought her a brand new Mazda.
Yeah.
Look.
Is this the NGV Barry Ball that you went to?
I did go to the Barry Ball, yes, and that was another
issue.
Because
there's a new article which just came out.
Yeah, about my nipples being out.
It says, Abby Chatfield shares video of herself dancing at star-studded event, but there's one embarrassing detail you can't ignore.
Oh my God.
And it was that my undies were on Inside Out.
Yeah, that your G-string... That you're, yeah, showing your G-string underwear in your social media video.
Yeah, it's in a sheer dress. I never thought that you could see my underwear in a dress that's made of mesh. That is crazy.
That is. I've never seen that before. I wouldn't either. I wouldn't think ahead like that either.
Yeah, I think it's them also, it's trying to project other people's insecurities and embarrassments onto me so they feel better about themselves, and that's why they click it, because they want me to be embarrassed about something, because I don't get embarrassed about a lot. Like, I obviously do get embarrassed, but I'm not number one irk in life. You know what irks me? People that, strangers, they come up to me and go, oh, tag dag. And I go, you think I care if tags are out? I go, you're embarrassing. You should be embarrassed. Yeah. I go, you think, why would I be embarrassed about tags? And I go, why are you trying to project your embarrassment onto me? I don't care that my tags, oh no, there are tags on this clothing item. What?
How about if something was in your teeth?
Yeah, I think that's fine, obviously. In my teeth, I go, oh, thanks, chalk. But also, strangers come up to me and touch me. It happened this morning. I had someone confront me this morning about my stance on Palestine. And I was having the best morning. I went to yoga, went to hot yoga. Wonderful, was so calm. Had been texting my chooky boy. Had a FaceTime with him in the morning. Went to yoga, was so happy. Was listening to some music. Listening to some music and was eating a croissant and waiting for my coffee. And this woman came up to me and she goes, hi, Abby. And I go, oh, hey. She goes, I was a huge fan of you on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. And I actually messaged you. And I go, okay, like, thank you so much. It's so lovely. Lovely to meet you. And she goes, but your stance on Palestine has been really one-sided. And I said, yeah, genocide's pretty one-sided, isn't it?
Fucking slay.
And I went, yeah, it is pretty bad, isn't it? It's pretty awful the way genocide's occurring right now. And then she just went on, and I don't even want to get into it, but I was like, why are you confronting me in public when I haven't spoken to you, I don't know you, and now you're telling me that genocide isn't occurring? And she said to me that, well, you know, Israel's the only place in the Middle East that queer people are even allowed, and that it's a safe haven for them. So, like, you know, and I was going, you don't have a right to my political thoughts at 7:30 on a morning while waiting for a coffee. I don't owe you that.
And but
I
that's think what this social media. Also, as a Palestinian, can we just stop the argument about, like,
if there's a place that's homophobic, then it's fine for it to have genocide in it. Like, can we not, please?
Yeah. When I walked away, I did go, you know when you go, rats, should have said that. But I was like, freak, walking home going, grr, should have said that, but who cares? But I did, like, it's like, okay, Alabama, they're banning, obviously America, Roe v. Wade is au revoir.
Yeah.
And Alabama are now, frozen embryos now people, and that's counted as murder, and they're very obviously anti-abortion. What? So because I don't agree with that country's political structure and political stance, or that state in the case of Alabama, it's okay if everyone dies that's there, that's oppressed, as though there aren't queer people in Palestine.
Yeah,
I mean, there aren't queer Palestinians. Anyway, that's a whole other conversation.
It's just like selective beliefs and selective morals.
Yeah, and I think, and obviously she has seen, that's come from headlines in media about me being, I was like, yeah, it is awful what happened on October 7th. I've never said that it isn't. But genocide is occurring currently. And then she said, well, it isn't genocide. And I was like, I don't know what you want me to do here.
I mean, if South Africa comes and says it's a genocide, can we try to believe them?
But I think... with that, it's things from that range through to people coming up to me, and like last year at the rap party for FBoy Island, someone slapped my ass when I was dancing. Yeah, this is the whole thing. A girl came up at the pub and slapped my ass.
I remember this.
And then I didn't want to dance with her because I was with my crew. I was spinning on my head, and I'm going, we were practicing our latest choreo. No, I was with the crew from FBoy Island.
Absolutely.
I was with my crew. And my backwards cap on and going,
let's dance battle.
Fingers up.
You bring your crew and I'll meet you with my crew.
My crew. So I was dance battling. And I was with the crew and my friends, you know, we've finished a show together and it's sexual assault. You've slapped my ass. And then when you want to dance with me, I said, oh no, I'm fine, thanks. And then she gave me the finger from across the room and was like, fuck you, fuck her. And then I went up to her and I was like, hey, why did you just slap me and then give me the finger? Like, and then she started crying, like, don't attack me. I'm like, I'm not attacking you. No. You're the one that
confronting you for actually.
And then her boyfriend was like, get away from her. And I was like,
Can I explain why I think that is?
Because she's a pussy?
It's totally inappropriate behaviour for anyone to do that, obviously. But when I think you've got a level of fame, and this is why people, I think, feel really desensitised to commenting on Daily Mail, it's because fame is so unusual for them and they have this massive disconnect and they almost see you like cartoon characters that aren't real.
Yeah.
And because you have a, you know, potentially, you know, much larger... you know, income, and you know they value that as
I've
really
lost $500,000, like, Oscar. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah. Addiction battles are really tough.
Yeah, I think that's why they feel like that they can cross certain barriers, and they completely forget that that's not actually the case. But one thing, and I, you know, having been in the industry for, you know, 15 years or whatever, is just seeing like male talent or, you know, celebrities in media out in public with people and female, and how a lot of the public feel that they can touch females, just in what I've over the
female is a slur, Oscar. Just,
yeah, could you please?
But you're so but also, I
women,
I'm telling you, every time I leave the house, it's rare for someone to not say something to me or touch me. It's that's why that's I have anxiety about
the touchings.
Well, even like I was at a store the other day, I won't say where in case they want to sponsor me one day, but I was at a store. That I do love.
We're reclaiming the 500,000.
Exactly. I need to earn it back.
This is a girl boss.
Hole.
Let's reclaim.
I'm in
Let's
the
manifest.
Hole. I know. We're going to re-girl boss it up. Mm. It's also funny because when I do make money, I get
shit for it.
Shit for it. And then when I am not making money, I get shit for it. When I'm successful, it's like,
if you breathe, you get shit.
Fuck her. She's making money. She's a woman making money. And then when men do it, it's like, oh my God, he's doing so well. It's so amazing. And then when women do it, it's like, what has she done to manipulate people to get that job or get that money, or like, fuck her. Like
and you're not relatable anymore. No one ever says that to Hamish and Andy. No one ever says like, you don't know your audience.
Yeah. Yeah. Tone deaf. Yeah. You're being tone deaf. Also, even to people like, sorry, Tony, but Tony Armstrong has every job under the fucking sun. No one said anything about him being unrelatable. He's just a fucking larrikin. Like, I love you, Tone, but like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's very fucking different. But I had someone come up to me, don't even come up to me, yell across this store that I was in. I've spoken to her maybe twice when I was checking out because it's at the local Westfield.
Mm.
And
sponsor us.
sponsor us, like Westfield. Yeah, and I was with my crew. And I was with my crew.
I had a backwards cap on.
Again. No,
and board shorts.
Yeah, and board shorts. And those big puffy sneakers. And I was walking around. Like, I was slinking around going, go on, you know, just preparing myself. And no, she yells out, "Oh, Abby, you've lost so much weight. You're looking way too skinny."
Oh, God.
And I was like, "Oh, yeah, I just finished filming. So, yeah, I just lose weight when I film." She's like, "Oh, yeah, I understand. I think she thought that I meant that I intentionally lost weight to film." And then she's like, "Oh, but you look amazing, though. Like, you're looking good, but you do. You look way better skinny."
No, that's
and that happens
fucked.
A lot. People saying that I look better or worse skinny. On Friday night, I had someone come up to me at the Bowery Ball and touch my hair, caress my hair. And she was drunk and she was lovely, but again, it's a boundaries thing. So if you're listening to this, I'm not mad at you and I know you were drunk and having a fun time. So it's not like she had any ill intent. It wasn't the same effect as the woman that yelled out that I was gaunt, but also look better this thin, the contrast of that. But and caresses my hair and goes, "I wasn't sure about this hair color, but I actually really like it." And I go, "Oh, my natural hair color that I've had for 2 years." And I go, "Oh, I'm glad, thank God you like it." Other people, that same weekend, people come up to me at the F1, they go, "Oh my God, you're actually really pretty in person." And I go, "Thanks."
People actually do not consider their behavior or their language ever. And that's why I think they fall prey to like these Daily Mail headlines as well, because they think it's like, oh, it's just like words being used accidentally and inappropriately. No, it's not an accident. It's an agenda.
Yeah.
And it's the same. People don't actually take responsibility and they hide behind like, you know, "I'm being attacked," or like, "I'm being triggered" a lot of time. And we use like the language of like pop psychology against just classic accountability. I remember one day I'd put up a reel about the referendum and explaining what it was basically.
Yeah.
I had 100 people message me with advice for my chronic acne.
No.
Yeah. 100 people in 3 hours.
What the fuck?
That's why we fucking lost the vote, honestly.
Yeah, sending me links for like what dermatologist I should see and what diagnosis they think I have. And I said, "I'm actually explaining constitutional law."
Yeah, other things are happening beyond my skin.
And I didn't ask and we're not friends. And I know that I give the appeal, and part of the appeal of what we do is being personable and feeling like you're having an equal conversation with someone you choose to follow, because it's just like we speak across, not down.
Yeah.
And that's so important. But then they wonder why it's hard for people to stay on social media and to give that level of themselves.
Yeah, I've backed off so much because I'm really exhausted by it. But there are lots of people who do it really well, because I think when people hear this, they go, "Oh, I'm not allowed to speak to her if I see her out."
No, that was not the point.
No, they were like, for example, before the F1, I was at breakfast and this girl was like, "Hey, I'm a huge fan of yours. Do you want to get a photo? I love you so much. I'll just," and then got the photo and was like, "Thank you so much," and sat down.
Yep.
And I'm going, "Great. That is so sweet. So they were such lovely girls. They were so like lovely. And they were like, 'Well, stop annoying you now.' I'm like, 'No, you're being fine.'" Mm. That's a nice interaction.
Can I ask?
Yeah.
I feel like the sort of general feedback is, you know, when you hear people talk about not feeling comfortable being in the media, being, you know, talked at or like subbed all the time, the general response is, well, then maybe it's not for you. Because what do you kind of say to that? I mean, obviously there's a level and I suppose it's about people's intention and how they are.
It's about like intention and also just using common sense. I don't know anyone that would go up to a stranger on the street and start touching their hair that they saw.
But that's what I mean about comment sections. Often what I come back to in like creating a boundary for myself and like leveling out how I feel about social media is that the people that comment, I've never commented on a stranger's post before. I never comment on...
I comment being like, "I'm pissing."
No, I know, but you never comment something that's like... I think being on the internet, you know that like the people in your life don't go into comment sections or message random people. And that's always what I come back to is like, I actually don't know the kinds of people that comment in this way and feel that they can give me their opinion. And I know my friends would never go up to a person they follow on the street and touch their hair, or even like they would do the wave. They would do a smile and wave and keep going.
And you can say hello to me. Like this is the thing. Like, and I think people also want to, it leads into this thing again of thinking that I'm the most awful version that I could be. I'm not saying don't talk to me. I'm not saying it's a hard to me. I actually really like people are, like I often cry because of how lovely people are and what they say to me. particularly mums. Mums, when mums do it to me, I start crying. They go, my daughters love you and you're an amazing role model. Then I start crying at the airport again. But if you wouldn't do it to a stranger, keep in mind, you, to me, you are a stranger. So interact with me how you would interact with someone that works at a coffee shop.
Yep.
Like, but you can be lovely to me, you can speak to me, you can say hi to me, but would you touch someone's hair at a coffee shop that has recently changed? Oh my God, I actually do like it. It's like, don't touch me, don't come near me. I also get overstimulated really easily. Don't, like, please don't. Mm.
Totally. And I think it's, again, coming back to the question of, like, is it just not for you? I think it's, like, I totally understand the question, but I always think it comes back to me for the fact that, like, I think that women are expected to just accommodate and be hospitable to people crossing our boundaries. And it's interesting because then when we talk about it like this, like I'm even worried listening back to myself thinking, do I sound so privileged and annoying for like having boundaries and having expectations of strangers?
Yeah.
And that I'm like, I'm in such a good position. Is it unfair for me to expect these things? But it's like, it is so okay for me to expect not to be touched or abused in public.
Yeah, like me not to get slapped on the ass. Happens a lot. People grab my ass. People have grabbed my tits before, like shook that's my terrible. Tits.
Because they think that your empowerment is their entitlement.
Whoa.
Damn, girl. She got it. Yes.
Unfortunately,
it's true. They think that because I'm sexually liberated. I mean, I mean, this is getting to a whole other thing now, but I agree. We're told that we have to be accommodating and men don't go through the same thing. I spoke about a guy years and years ago, like 4 years ago.
Can I just say to that guy listening, you just got downgraded.
I wasn't even seeing you. I guess we were like friends, had sex a couple of times.
I know your name, sort of.
Vaguely. I can't even imagine his face, to be honest. But he had been in media for a while and then I said something about him and he called me panicking and got, I don't want to say angry. Angry is too extreme, but like confronted me and said, you don't understand. I've never in my life had an article that wasn't about my work. And I went, that must be fucking nice. And I went, I've never had an article about my work.
Yeah.
Every single thing that I do professionally turns into a personal slight against me.
Yep.
Every single thing. Abby Chatfield gets renewed for The Masked Singer. Also, it hasn't been confirmed yet, so please don't put that as a fucking headline. But in theory, Abby Chatfield, is on the panel again for The Masked Singer. For the third season, despite backlash from fans, despite addiction battles, there's always a caveat with me about my personal life.
Yeah.
In every single thing that happens, even when it's purely about work and what I do for work, it turns into a personal thing. And I understand that my brand is currency, is my personal life. I understand that. But I also think my currency has changed more to commentary about things. And I do involve personal stories about myself, but not because that's kind of the backbone of my content anymore, I don't think.
You are a political commentator.
Thank you, Queen, just like you.
But you are, but you know they're engaging with the content because they always have something to say about your dating updates.
Always.
You know they're listening.
Yeah, true.
You're listening.
But it's interesting having that man have a go at me and say, you don't, and I'm going, you haven't. It made me so upset, not because I really cared about that person, but because I thought, this is so sad that you have no idea what this is. I go out for a walk with the dogs, I've either lost or I've gained weight. I have a taut tummy and perky tits, or I've gained weight and fans are worried about me. Like, no matter what I'm doing, I'm flaunting my body. If I upload a photo with alcohol in my hand, it's like I'm a drunkard. It's like every single thing that I do relates back to my personal morality and my value as a human, whereas men can just have, they did this funny thing. I've never once seen an article saying like Abby Chatfield was really funny on FBoy Island, despite the fact that there are
boring headline.
Hundreds of comments. Right, it's boring. But like, again, when Tony does something,
when Hamish Blake does something.
It's like, this is so funny. This is so funny. This man's value was in his funny.
But I don't think you'd ever read a headline about a male where they're saying how funny they are.
Are you joking? Tony Armstrong it's like,
hilarious something.
Hilarious. Maybe, it's like the classic Australian, or like, Hamish and Andy have decided to do this. Arcs. Their story arcs are getting pushed out as story arcs, which... And my story arcs getting pushed out as personal agendas.
But is that also not, I think obviously like about, you know, commenting on your body weight, like all that stuff is so fucked up. But because you entered with The Bachelor, it is about the personal and the love life. Is that, do you think that that
but
is
we
valid?
Heard about when Andy, sorry, Hamish and Andy, love you so much. We heard about when Andy met Beck at the restaurant. Like I know about how Hamish, how Andy and Beck met. I know how Hamish and his wife met. We were hearing everyday updates of when they said, I love you, we heard about it. When they broke up, we heard about it. When they're back together, we heard about it. We were hearing everything about those boys' lives, and rightfully so, the headlines are about their amazing work they do. I don't think an article exists about my work that doesn't relate to my personal life and my shortcomings or me, quote unquote, bragging or like,
I think even if you are like opening up your personal life, commodifying it, even if you want to, because that's something that you want to do. If anybody wants to do that, I don't think that's the issue. I think it's the issue of how those narratives are being portrayed in a way that really still brings us back again to patriarchy. Like it is just so fucking boring for me, even like not being an Australian, coming to Australia thinking, oh, it's this great West that's going to be so different from how I grew up. And then I still see those things. And then you get this comment. This is my favorite comment on one of Abby's posts was, don't let your wife or girlfriend follow this bee. She's bad news. So this is a person
that's so
who's
funny.
Like,
I love they're threatened by like, that and scared of me.
But that's what I mean.
This is what it is. It's patriarchy, Oscar. I think it's besides what Abby wants to share. And I think she's fully empowered to fucking talk about whatever parts of her love life she wants. Fucking make money out of it. I'm all for that.
Agree.
It's just how it's so damaging, not to her only. It's just damaging to all of us because that narrative is not going away. And they keep just doubling down on it. And Hannah, I don't know what you think would be a way to fucking counteract that shit. Like, is it actually to get another media platform that's stronger and like counteract this ridiculous shit that keeps happening? Or is it like to call it out? Because it's just not ending.
Well, it's kind of like this age old debate is like this whole like, don't rock the boat, don't like, do not add fuel to the fire by responding to these like headlines. But that's not true. That's not how I approach it because my favorite thing to do is get a headline and explain exactly what's fucked up about it, right? And the reason for that is that I think it teaches people to understand how the language has been manipulated to shame you, right? And so I think the greatest thing that you can do is to continue doing exactly what you're doing because as much as it's not going to combat them, I mean, if you want to see the Daily Mail, see the Daily Mail, please. And like, please invite me to cover it. I would love to cover it.
After renovations are done, I'll get the funds together.
I'll be like live vlogging. We're here. But it's so interesting because I think that what the answer is to have a more diverse media landscape that actually gives a shit about genuine issues. Because you need to be following and engaging with feminist, left-wing, progressive media that's challenging the pale, male, stale Murdoch media landscape we currently exist under.
But the challenge then comes with engagement and making money. Like those independent media companies, it's much harder to make money because the engagement will be lower because if it's nuanced and it's reasonable, it won't really go anywhere. It has to either be extreme right or extreme left.
But and I think also the further
then it turns
you get
into the left eating the left.
And the left the right gets so far left, they end up on the right is my view as well.
The horseshoe theory about the left wing becoming so far left, they end up being really, during COVID we saw it with all these left wing like, holistic mummy bloggers turning into anti-vaxxers and conspiracy
and
theorists.
And using the sort of like my body, my choice rhetoric of abortion activists against women, basically.
Yes.
And using that as their argument. And this is the thing, is that there isn't actually space right now on social media for just like reasonable debate. Because like we know that our engagement goes best. I'm sure the more like inflammatory or like polarizing your content.
What are you talking about?
The better it goes, the more it's viewed.
That. No, as I say, tears get ticks.
Tears get ticks.
In radio world, tears get ticks.
But it's true. And it's like,
true. When I cry, we do go, do we do the crying video again? Let's do it.
But it works. Well, do you know it's important to be
honest. I always
honest.
Think,
And I am crying. Like, it's not clickbait, but I am crying.
No.
Yeah, well, you go, do I want to make a boring video? Or do I want to make a video that actually connects with the audience? And it is a really great reminder. And seeing your content, Hannah, and being around the both of you, Abby Lem, it's always good to, yeah, continually learn about like what the best way to approach it is. But yeah, you want to make something that is going to connect with people and make it interesting.
Because I'm always pushing Oscar. He's pushing me more towards clickbait. I'm pushing him more towards like, what is the emotional impact of this? And I think we work well together like that because he's more about like viral shit because he knows it. And I'm more about like, how is this person going to respond when they read this? And I think that's how you can, because it is important for things to fucking go viral in my view. Like, why kind of shy away from that, you know?
But also like, it's like, for me, it's about going, okay, I need to get people in with the viral content. So like my content about Sam Kerr, like a million views on Instagram, really right? Thank you.
But Mary shared it.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. Thank you. That was really great. It was a really great day for me. But it's like, okay, I know that's the thing that's going to get a million people across. That might mean a few thousand followers for my platform that day. And that means over a 6-month period, they might be exposed to 100 more posts that provide a more nuanced view about things like climate change, women's rights, abortion rights, like all of these things, right? And yeah, it might be the one inflammatory, polarizing post that gets the influx, but ultimately the way their social media feed looks over time changes.
Yeah,
you know,
right,
so it's like you know that tears get ticks, right? Yeah. But you also know that there's 10 other posts and they might get education about a butt plug.
True, and that's also
or a
really
longer podcast.
Yeah, so true. Plug.
Strategic early.
Plug.
But this is the thing. It's like ultimately we go, we know what inflammation and polarization does. We know what that language gets, just like the Daily Mail does. And what they're hoping for is a scroll and an engagement beyond that. We need to combat that by doing the opposite, by giving the good shit, getting people in with the hard line and bringing the substance at the back end. Which I think is what we're doing.
That's smart. I mean, that's what you're doing anyway. I also think Pedestrian do a good job of it. I think Pedestrian aren't inflammatory and they don't, well, obviously everyone is when they do headlines, like we were saying, but I think Pedestrian
someone sat and thought about it, you know, like you get that sense when they write a headline, somebody is like, actually, do we choose this or this? Not just like, crunch it out, Ken. And then like, they just, I don't know.
And that's what they always say at the Daily Mail. Crunch it out, Ken. That's so true.
That's actually a poster in their office.
Yeah.
That's a Hallmark card. Put that on a t-shirt. Crunch it out, Ken.
Crunch it out, Ken. But what other headlines do we have about me that we're
This is
Let's
so
go through
good.
A few more before we
one
finish this.
One of my other, okay, there's a recent one. The photo of you in the sauna.
Oh, yeah.
A photo in the sauna. Awesome. I love that photo.
It's a really
so
cute
much.
Photo, right? So the headline for this one is Abby Chatfield shows off her incredible figure as she goes topless while relaxing in a sauna. Now, there's another one.
My incredible figure. It's my collarbone up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, I do have a hot collarbone.
Yeah, but then the next one, which is also tied in here, is Abby Chatfield shows off her incredible figure in a micro dress as she kicks off filming for second season of F-Boy Island with 3 bikini babes.
Oh my God.
Now, but also,
it's like the man from the Candy Mansion wrote that.
It is. But also, like, immediately, right, you go, a lot of people would read that and go, but it's positive. It's saying she has a good body.
Yeah.
And so people would struggle to take your criticism on it because they're like, but what's mean about that? And you're like, you're completely missing the point.
I mean, it's that I'm constantly objectified and, as Oscar said, cartoonified.
Yep.
Where it's, I uploaded this to show off my, what did it say? What did it call me, hot?
Yeah.
What did it say? My amazing
it
figure.
Said your, oh, you missed that, did you?
So going, sorry, say one more time.
Her incredible figure.
Yeah, my incredible collarbone and necklace. And these are little things. I think as well, if anyone listening is like, stop complaining. All these little complaints individually are whatever. Like it's, okay, what someone said that you have, that you have an incredible figure and that annoys you because you feel like you're objectified. That, But when it's literally every day, everything I do, everything I post, the anxiety that comes from seeing what are people going to say about this or what are the headlines going to be about this and how is that going to rot my brain? Like how is that going to perceive how I see myself? And that is that's like sexualizing a photo that is honestly, that photo makes me cry because of who took it and in what context it was taken in. And it's actually like a really sweet, cute photo, I think. And now it's been that I was horny in a sauna with my tits out.
It's been stained. The memory has been tainted in some way.
Yeah.
Think about like, I would say to someone who's like not facing this media stuff, think about like the creepiest guy that you know, like in your friend group.
Yeah.
You're wearing your favorite outfit.
I don't have any male
friends. But you're like on a night out, you're at a birthday party or something, you're enjoying yourself and you're in an outfit that you feel good in and you're having a great time. And then a gross fucking guy, everyone knows him, everyone's picturing him right now, makes a comment, and it might be complimentary, but think about how you feel.
Well, it's like getting mini catcalled all day, every day. When everything is at how I look, it's literally, that's how it feels.
But think about the way it impacts how you move through the world.
Yeah.
Because you think about like how you feel sexually about yourself and how you feel about your body and the way that you hold this mirror up to yourself every moment of every day. But now imagine someone is following you and being that critic and activating all of these thoughts you might have had about yourself, but publishing them for everyone to see.
Yeah, and then the comments adding to that, because that's what has been started. That is the seed that they have planted, that it's about my body. It's also like, are there articles saying, I mean, I'm sure there are articles about other male TV hosts, like when they get ripped for men's health cover or something, which is about health. But are there articles saying Osher Ginsberg looking taut while filming The Bachelors with three sexy boys? It's like, are there?
No.
Interestingly, he got body shamed quite notoriously with
it. Yeah, he does get it. But I don't know if he gets it in this like sexualizing way.
No
or
way.
Or not as often,
and
not, at not, least.
Not, no males would. And it's this, one thing that I think I've seen as well is just this feeling of ownership almost over women in media in how, they're able to report on you and the sexualization versus men.
So true, Oscar. Thank you, King.
Illy Queen.
Oh, there's one more.
Illy, there's one more.
This one, I think, Abby Chatfield reveals she's in a new monogamous relationship after disastrous polyamorous romance with Conrad.
Okay, so that was 2 years ago. Let's start with that. And my last relationship was also monogamous. So, and that didn't end. So are we going to put she's now in a monogamous relationship after disastrous monogamous relationship?
No. New form of shaming.
Yeah.
Mm. New form of umbrella shaming an entire group of people that are doing something different to the mainstream.
Yeah. And then also it implies that I'm shaming them as well. If people were reading that, there's also a double layer here of if someone is poly, they could think reading that I was saying polyamorous relationships are disastrous. Also, I was never poly. Get your fucking language right. I was open. Even that's See that? That's factually incorrect.
Exactly.
But doesn't matter.
And whose fault is it that the relationship ended then? Because it really just reflects that it's you and you're jumping.
I'm disastrous.
And so it's got an element of slut shaming.
Yeah.
It's got an element of like commentary on how often you date and how you date and how that changes. It shames an entire group of people. Mm-hmm. And it really, again, tries to create and maintain this fear narrative of any other type of dating, love, sex relationship that's outside the norm, which is that like, again, pale, male, stale, boomer mentality of how we're supposed to love.
Yeah. And I also think it's funny in general, people that have an issue with open relationships and they comment saying, you should try monogamy. I'm going, I've tried monogamy. Those relationships also ended. But why don't you try and being open? I don't see. Like, and also how many monogamous relationships have you heard of that have failed? You don't go, it's because they were open.
Yeah.
It's like, actually, my open relationships that I've had have involved much less fighting because there's much less jealousy and weird ownership over people. And just to be clear, my monogamous, it's not even a relationship. The person that I'm seeing, and we're only seeing each other. Shut up. Don't laugh, Oscar. The person I'm seeing, we also were like, and we'll discuss it down the line. The reason why I'm being monogamous is because in order to have a fruitful, open relationship, there needs to be an extraordinary amount of trust and security for that to happen. And right now I'm going through a healing journey and I'm like, I don't want to add that on extra and don't need it. That's all it is. But it does make me happy being in an open relationship. So it's on the cards for when I'm better.
And it's just like demonizing the idea of being open to conversation and trying new things.
Yeah.
Like to converse, to have trust.
Crazy.
It's horrific. Imagine.
It is horrific, as is the media landscape in this country. I think we need to have you on Flex 6 more episodes. Hannah, we've been talking for
honestly,
how long?
So many mic drops.
An hour or 20.
Yeah. I'm going to cut it into it's fine.
Okay. Well, Hannah, what do you want to plug the most? You can plug everything you want. The book?
The book. I feel like the book, my book Bite Back came out at the end of last year. I feel like it's the thing that has all of this. It has media, sex and relationships, all of it.
Amazing. So the link will be in the show notes. Link to Cheek Media will be in the show notes. Link to Big Small Talk will be in the show notes. Linking. And we'll have you back on. So if you have any more questions for Hannah, DM me or DM the podcast. And send in voice notes to hello@itslotpodcast about your thoughts on this episode because we love it. Okay, bye, Hannah.
Thanks, bye.
Bye.
Bye. Listener Production.